There always is the question of how do you follow the stories that have gone on before. I'm going to tell a story from when I was 18. I grew up in Arkansas and didn't have a ticket out, so I joined the military for 4 years. I was in the Air Force station outside of Phoenix, and I was trained as a battlefield medic. But in the Air Force, they don't have infantry, so luckily you usually work in a hospital. I worked from 8 to 4, and at 4 o'clock, your time was your own. So a group of us took classes at Phoenix Junior College. So we travel, check a vehicle out of the motor pool on Monday and Wednesday nights, and drive down to the college. And we'd come back to the base on these back roads and past farms and fields. So we were returning to the base one night, and we were following behind this 1955-ish type Buick. And it was pretty raggedy, 8-cylinder running on about 4. And we're all traveling at about 35 or 40 miles per hour on this gravel road, a little bit of dust. And we see these flashing emergency lights approaching us on the other side of the hill. And Arizona Highway Patrol car gets airborne as it comes over the hill in front of us. And the car lands. And for some reason, the driver of the car turned right in front of the Buick that was in front of us. And of course, the heavy Buick hit the patrol car. It flipped over and landed on its roof. And we're, you know, following slowly behind and watching this. So we stop. And this dust from the accident is coming toward us. And this one tire, I guess it was a spare tire from the Buick, is also rolling toward us on the road. And we, you know, for a second, we didn't know what to do. So the ranking guy in the car said, okay, you two take the highway patrol car and we'll take the Buick. And two of us went over to the highway patrol car. And, of course, we were talking about work. This was my work at the time. Two of us went over to the highway patrol car, and the driver was pinned under the dashboard. And we could only see his head and shoulder. And there was no way we could get him out, you know, without jaws of life. I don't even know if there were jaws of life at the time. But he also had a rod going through his shoulder. And there was no talking to him. He was just groaning. And so we reached in and turned the car engine off and left him because we couldn't do anything for him. And we went over to the Buick. And there was the father, about a 12-month-old baby, and his wife. And the father, I think he had a couple broken ribs. Jose had taken him out and covered him with the blanket and was, you know, working with him. And Simpson was giving the baby mouth to mouth. And he told me to work with the wife. And she's sitting on the side of the hill. So, you know, I asked her, are you in pain? You know, are you hurt? And she says, well, I don't think so. And she had blood on her leg. And she said, maybe my leg. So I touched her ankle and the blood rubbed off. And I decided the blood was from her baby. And she said, well, you know, I have pain, but it's higher. So I touch your leg here and here. And she says, no, higher. And her baby is being given, you know, mouth to mouth. Her husband is lying over here in shock. And I think she's, you know, she's in better shape than anyone else. And she says, well, why don't you check higher? And I'm going up her leg and going higher and higher on her leg. And I thought, you know, I'm caught up in this emergency that we're dealing with. And so you kind of forget. And then I thought for a second, you know, what's going on here? And I looked at her, and she was, you know, she was enjoying my touching her leg. You know, her baby is dying. The baby eventually died. Her husband, she doesn't know what's going on with him. And that's all she can think about. And they were pretty poor, and I decided they were pretty poor because it was that time of the month, and I was up high enough on her leg to see that she was stuffed with rags. So that was our work after work on this Wednesday in Arizona.